is that time of the week once again, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for Fantasy. And that is my co-host.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen?
That is Nick Heffley, back after the 1 week absence where he could not co-host last week with the busyness that he had going on in his daily life there with work and whatnot. Of course, I did record midweek. It was a little tougher.
I know everybody missed me.
Yeah, of course, everybody
you,
did.
You missed me most of all. I know.
I always miss. Obviously, I mean, it's like I said during the podcast last week. It's trying to do a one man show. Riding the spaceship alone is a little bit tougher than when you have someone to bounce ideas off of and go back and forth. And you know, it's better to have debates on a show like this than it is to just throw my opinion out there and have it biased. It sounds a little bit better when you have someone to talk to. That's what we're doing this week. We're back
slash when we're bringing the truth with me right here.
It's yeah.
You got Brandon's opinion and the truth right here.
I guess you could go with that. Yeah.
Let's talk some football, and I'm ready.
Yeah, we're gonna talk a little bit of fantasy this week on the show. We are pretty much exactly 1 month away from the NFL draft. So what we're gonna do today is gonna take a look at a first round mock draft. That is on walterfootball.com. It's a website that we normally
great site.
Yeah, it's a really good site. They do have a lot of information. They're very, very up to date with their mock draft, with their picks there. And so we're going to go down the line, picks 1 through 32 in the first round, basically hits, misses, what we think are good picks, what we think are bad picks, and then some implications when it comes to the fantasy realm on these player selections. So, right off the bat, I think everybody knows at this point in time, Cleveland Browns with the first pick. I think it's an all but a no-brainer that they're taking Sam Darnold, number one, and that is what this website has right now, is Sam Darnold, number one off the board. What are you thinking with that pick?
I mean, I was thinking they were going to go Vontae Mack no matter what, but... But since Vontae Mack is not available currently, I think Darnold is looking like the guy, at least from what we're seeing so far. I think with some of the trade ups that have been rumored about, I don't think the Browns can afford to go Saquon number one. I think they have to go ahead and get their quarterback right here. Darnold is one of those guys that, I mean, he's coming into a really good situation. You've got Josh Gordon there. I mean, talking about Darnold in terms of fantasy, if he goes to the Browns number one, he's going to be a very, very late number two quarterback in fantasy drafts. If you're looking at dynasty, I think he's definitely a first rounder. If you're looking dynasty and beyond, he could be in years, maybe a borderline one. I mean, I think it's just the situation. The Browns have got some good offensive players, especially if they go Saquon at four. It's the situation. What do you think?
I mean, I agree. I think Darnold has kind of entrenched himself as that top pick. I don't believe when it comes to fantasy and redraft formats this year that he's going to be a selection even late in a draft. I mean, he could be a last... He could be a last round pick type of player in 2018, but only if you're dead set at quarterback. If you've got like that Tom Brady type, if you've got a Russell Wilson type, Aaron Rodgers type, these type of guys that you know are going to be your weekly starter and you want to go ahead and have some depth there or pick up a guy that you think might have a little bit of upside later on in the draft, and Darnold would be a guy that, you know, you're going to take and wait out the project on him. But you know, like what we talked in the first episode of the pilot, you know, I think Tyrod Taylor holds on to the job for the entire year. He'll be the bridge quarterback to Darnold. They're going to give Tyrod Taylor basically every chance for him to show off his skill set to be able to get another deal with another team next year. And next year go with Sam Darnold. And then, like you said, with a dynasty format, he'll be a high pick in a dynasty format. First round draft pick in those type of
Oh, he should
drafts.
be. He should be. Yeah. I
Because
mean,
it's.
he should be. I mean, and obviously, we're getting ready to get into the other quarterbacks and where they go. But you know, Darnold, if you go somewhere where you have Josh Gordon, you got Landry throwing the ball out there. You got Joku. You got Duke Johnson. You could potentially. We'll see. We'll see what the mock brings here at four. But you've got some weapons there that you know you're going to have more weapons there than you are going to have in a Buffalo. You know, some of these other teams that need quarterbacks out there, at least long-term potential-wise, you know, in a dynasty league, Darnold is probably, I'd say, probably the top quarterback, if not top three, out there on the board in a dynasty format.
Yeah, in Dynasty, I have no doubts he'll be the top quarterback selected in Dynasty drafts. It's all gonna be how he projects out at the NFL level, how he's coached up at the NFL level by this coaching staff. If he cuts out on a lot of those mental errors and mistakes and interceptions that he threw at USC this last year, I think he'll be able to be one of these quarterback ones that'll be in redraft leagues probably as soon as 2 to 3 years down the road. I mean, he'll spend some time as a quarterback too in redraft leagues the next couple of years, but I think he'll quickly ascend up into that upper
Yeah, and
echelon.
well, and just like, yeah, I mean, just like we talked, I mean, you know, Tyrod is to me a high number two this year, but the thing, I mean, we all know how little Tyrod is. I mean, I think Tyrod does not play the full slate this year. Could he give you good value, especially in some of these leagues that you know you got some good points for rushing the ball for quarterbacks? Sure. He gonna stay healthy the whole year? I don't think so. Especially now with Joe Thomas retiring. I mean, you've got some glaring hole on that line right now that, you know, Tyrod Taylor should be worried around back there.
They've got some holes, but there's still plenty of time to fill through free agency and even with the draft in the later rounds. I mean, there's potential down the road. But moving on, here on Walter Football, number two pick, they actually have a trade in place. They have the Buffalo Bills moving up, trading with the New York Giants and acquiring the second pick so they can draft Josh Allen, quarterback out of Wyoming. Do you think the Bills make this deal according to this website, or do you think the New York Giants stay put and make the selection themselves at the two spot?
I mean, if I'm the Giants, I'm getting a haul for this pick, which I'm imagining it would be a similar haul to what the Colts got for them moving down.
Because you have to think with this.
I think I make the move.
Yeah, with this
It better
trade.
be say if it if I if I'm sold on Saquon, I've gotta draft Saquon. If I'm not sold on Saquon, or if I want a quarterback, hey, you move down. You move down and acquire draft capital because you just trade up. The next move right here is a trade down. If you're not sold on Saquon.
No, and that's what I was going to say was that if they were to actually make this move, that is a long step down for them as far as a trade. They're moving all the way down to the 12th pick if the Giants make this move here. So I don't think the Giants do that. I think they stay put. It's been essentially, what, 15 years that you've had Eli Manning. You've not really selected another quarterback early in the draft since you've selected Eli Manning. I think they're going to go ahead and make that pick here. I don't believe it's going to be Josh Allen. Every indication, every report that I've seen is that the Giants are really high on Josh Rosen. So I think that will be the pick here if it were me making the selection. I think that's going to be Josh Rosen to the Giants at two. No disrespect to the Walter Football here, but I think they've got that call wrong. I think the Giants stay put. So I have Josh Rosen going number two to the Giants. So if that's the way it sticks out, what do you think about Josh Rosen to the Giants?
I mean, we've talked about this the last time we you know did our pilot episode here. To me, I'm not too big of a fan of Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. I'm not a fan of these guys. If I'm taking the second quarterback here, I'm going to But I cannot, I don't know why, I cannot see Baker Mayfield in a Giants uniform. He looks weird. I don't know, he looks completely, maybe it's because he wore red his whole time. I don't know. But if I'm picking in the Giants slot right here, I go out and get Saquon. I get that piece. I maybe take my second round pick and move back in the first to come get that quarterback. But I take Saquon and I go ahead and get that stud number one running back. You put Saquon in a Giants uniform, he's gonna be a first round pick or borderline first round, second round guy in fantasy drafts, and easily number one guy in a dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I personally don't see the Giants taking Saquon Barkley right now myself. I think they let it slide. I do think they go and try to get their next franchise quarterback because of the ones that they've hit and missed on over the last few years. And I see them bringing in Rosen. I see them sitting them behind Eli Manning for the next year, letting them learn as much as they can from the two-time Super Bowl winner, future Hall of Famer. I think that's best case scenario for the Giants long term. So now if you do go say what you said with Barkley, and Barkley goes to the Giants, of course he's going to be drafted as a running back one in redraft scenarios, be the top pick overall in dynasty formats, I would assume. But with Rosen going to the Giants, no appeal there whatsoever in redraft for 2018. You pretty much guarantee that he's not seeing the field whatsoever. Dynasty, yeah, he's probably going to be the second, easily second or third quarterback selected in dynasty drafts. He'll probably be, depending on how this team shakes out down the road over the next few years, he'll probably be a guy in redraft leagues going down the road that is going to be a borderline low-end quarterback one, high-end quarterback two for probably quite a few number of years is what I would think. Because I do imagine that Odell Beckham eventually leaves the Giants. I don't think he's going to stay with that team. So then you kind of have to put a little bit of fear into your back of your mind with what the Giants are going to have on offense for that guy.
Guys, you heard it here first. I think John seeing being fantasy relevant. Let's say he is the pick here. Definitely not a pick, obviously, for this year. Dynasty leagues, you're probably looking at Rosen. I'd say probably toward the mid part of round one, mid to late part of round one, just for where he's going. But again, that person will not be me that's taking this.
All right, going to the third pick. Got Josh Rosen to the Jets after they made the trade to move up to that third spot just a few weeks ago with the Colts. Of course, the website here has Josh Rosen to the Jets, but in my latest article that I had written for Roto Experts that should be up in the next few days, I have the Jets at this spot taking Josh Allen, actually. So everything I've read, same thing with the Giants, same thing I'm reading with the Jets. The Jets are pretty high on Josh Allen. They like the tools that he brings into the league. Just that tall, prototypical size for a quarterback. I don't see them going with Baker Mayfield, although that could be a possibility as well. Saquon Barkley could be a pick here as well, moving up to number three, but I just don't see the Jets going that route. They signed two veteran quarterbacks to 1 year deals, so they're not really set at quarterback per se. They could just use those guys as filler until their guy's ready to be put in the lineup, and I think that will be Josh Allen myself.
Yeah, if it's me, if I'm in this situation, if I'm the Jets, I'm going after Baker Mayfield. This would be a great spot for him. You got Robbie Anderson to throw the ball to. You got Quincy Enunwa.
Negative.
What?
Remember,
What negative?
we talked about that in the pilot episode. Quincy Enunwa, no longer in the NFL, neck injury. He basically
He's
retired from the
done?
NFL. He is done. That neck injury he sustained late in the year last year knocked Quincy Enunwa out. So now you have Robbie Anderson, who we are waiting on suspension wording from because off the field incident, slapping a woman around, he's getting suspended by this league. So you're going to have to wait to see how many games he's missing. The newly signed Terrell Pryor
Terrell Pryor. Everybody's what was it, second or third round draft pick last year?
I from what I remember, a lot of the drafts is ADP value had him in the late third last year. So Terrell Pryor, your number two receiver for the Jets right now,
A lot of
probably the
people
number
swung and
one.
missed. A lot of people swung and missed on that one
Yeah,
last
that was
year.
the he was a very very there were a few fantasy experts out there, Brad Evans being one of them, that was taking that basically had Terrell Pryor as a top five receiving option last year. What a huge swing and miss by a guy that gets paid to do this for a living. But anyways,
I mean, his situation, you got to admit, though, I mean, prior situation coming in there, minus the year before from DeSean Jackson leaving, minus Pierre Garçon leaving, Terrell Pryor was just basically handed a number one guy with a guy in Kirk Cousins that threw for a ton the year before. I mean, he's set up with just the best situation possible and did nothing with it. Screwed the pooch.
he came
Horrible.
in, well, the biggest thing with Pryor last year, he came in unmotivated, and there was no rapport between him and Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins decided that he wanted to continue to throw to Crowder, wanted to continue to throw the ball to Josh Doctson, because it seemed like that front office wanted to give Josh Doctson every single chance in the world to be the top receiver in that offense, and it really showed midpoint of the year. As to getting into the later parts of the year, Terrell Pryor was even healthy scratches or just not getting looks during games. So now, of course, he's going to take a flyer and go to another team. And Jets are very, very wide receiver needy. Steps into a position where, I mean, he's going to have Josh McCown throwing him the ball in the early weeks of the season. And Josh McCown Luke made Robbie Anderson look like an all-star last year. So.
Yeah, right. I mean, let's face it. I mean, McCown's probably a late two. I mean, with those guys, especially, someone tells me the Jets are going to draft a wide receiver, but Robbie Anderson is going to be probably a high end number three on some teams this year. He's going to be looking halfway decent.
Yeah, his draft value, like I said, is going to be strictly tied to how many games he misses.
McCown.
No,
Well, oh yeah.
Robbie Anderson. Yeah.
No, well, yeah. I mean, well, and the fact that if hopefully they give him the ball, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater could come in and play just a little bit and kind of kick the tires on him. But all of that depends on what this pick is, if they go quarterback or if they go somewhere else.
Yeah, which, like I said, I'm dead set on the fact I think they go Josh Allen here.
So let's say they go Josh Allen. What are your thoughts on Allen?
Josh Allen, he will be, and I put this in my article that I wrote about the Jets and their draft preview, is that he will be the biggest boom or bust pick in this entire first round.
What do you have him as? Is he booming or busting for you?
I can't really go out. I mean, if I had to go out on a limb, I think he's gonna bust with the Jets just because of the fact that where he's at. There's no help around him whatsoever. There's no solid running game back behind him. The offensive line is starting to get a little bit shaky. And there's no receiving options really outside of Robbie Anderson that you can count on right now on this team. So it's not set up in his favor to begin with. And coming from a guy who couldn't break 56% completion rate in 2 years in college, you're having to come into a league to where you're going to have to hit the needle. You're going to have to basically thread the needle on every single throw that you make. Can now he's
Yeah.
does he throw a pretty deep ball down the field? Yes, but when it doesn't hit its mark, it doesn't hit its mark, and that's going to be the drawback with Josh Allen. He's going to make those mistakes down the field, and it's going to cost him. But on the other side of the coin, you could look at it as though it's a learning curve. He could use all this time to get it out of his system, much like a Blake Bortles did in his rookie season. Get all that stuff out of his system and start to develop. I mean, you could see that with Josh Allen. I just
Well,
don't
and
think
let's
he's
not
going to the
forget,
right team.
Ossiferian Jenkins gone.
Austin
You
Safarian
got, you
Jenkins
got, you
gone.
got to. I mean, that's a bit, especially for a young quarterback. I mean, that tight end is all too important there. Him going out. I mean, that's gonna hurt him. I mean, and let's face it. I mean, for everybody out there, and in dynasty formats, and those guys that everybody has in their leagues that are rookie heavy. I mean, there are not a lot of good wide receivers in this league.
in this draft, I should say. There are not a lot of good guys that I'm just like, oh my God, I gotta have this guy.
Yeah,
there's
it
not
is
a
not
lot
a
of guys.
star-studded wide receiver class. That is certain.
This is a meat and potatoes draft right here.
It is so definitely, Josh Allen, he'll be nothing but a dynasty option in your fantasy drafts this year. So, you know, redraft formats, don't even waste the time to put him on your paper. Don't rank him. There's no need in it whatsoever. Moving on to the number four spot, Cleveland Browns coming up again, and I think they wind up with the luckiest pick of all right here with Saquon Barkley falling back to them at four. The website has them making the pick of Barkley at four, as do I in my mock draft stuff
total
that I've kind of gone through.
Total home run. It's just like the movie Draft Day. You know what? I was actually watching Draft Day right before this. I didn't even know we were talking about this. Watching Draft Day, you take your guy at one, you get your running back in your second pick. Solid. I mean, absolute home run pick. If this fell to the Browns, they should be ecstatic. Number one overall pick in a dynasty format. I think he's a very late round one, early round two kind of running back if he goes to the Browns here.
And I agree with you to an extent, but it depends on how the touches shake out in this backfield. Newly signed Carlos Hyde is there as well, and you have Duke Johnson, you know, the guy that all he does is catch passes in that backfield, still in tow as well. Saquon Barkley does both of those things really, really well. He can run the ball, he can catch the ball. So are they going to bring him in and feed him, you know, a la an Ezekiel Elliott, first year into the league? And if they do that, one of these other running backs is expendable. I think that would be Duke Johnson if I had to put a bet on it. Duke Johnson will be the expendable back out of the backfield, and you've got the veteran in Carlos Hyde behind Barkley to relieve him and give him a little give him some rest on the sidelines. So if that were to shake out that way, I do believe Barkley will be one of these guys that's going to be that fringe 12th, 13th pick in a fantasy draft. But if they maintain all three of these backs in that backfield, I want to take the chance on the talent, but then again, I don't want to take a chance on a guy that's going to get a third, two-thirds of the carries, looks and touches and targets out of that backfield. It's going to be a really risky proposition for him.
Let's face it, though. That may be where he's going to go in drafts. That doesn't mean we're taking him in these drafts. That just means we know that there's going to be that guy who is drinking the Kool-Aid, the orange Kool-Aid on Saquon, and they're going to go late first. Me, personally, I would feel a lot more comfortable if I'm picking the tail end of round two, early part of round three, getting Saquon, if he went into this situation. I feel a lot more comfortable with that with Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson in tow, if that's even the case when practice kicks off in July. Some team's going to go after him. Somebody that we draft with will go and take him late round.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Now, there's so many people that are – you saw it in drafts last year, too. People are chasing Ezekiel Elliott, and you're going to continue to see that. People are going to chase Leonard Fournette this year.
Sure.
That's what you're going to see with Saquon. You're going to see that with Saquon Barkley. He's going to be the new hot commodity in the fantasy world. Everybody wants that new shiny toy and be able to say, I was right on Saquon Barkley. And you're going to see that a lot in drafts, come late July into August when we really do kick off draft season. You're going to see that for sure.
Well, and let's remember this, though. I mean, I'm typically not a fan of getting a rookie running back round one. I just think it's too risky. Maybe it's going back to me and taking Ron Matthews in the first round his year when he was supposed to be teed up to do big things with the Chargers and didn't do anything. But, you go back 2 years ago with Zeke, average first round, late part of the first round, early part of the second round, held up to, his draft season. Leonard Fournette as well. I mean, he got taken high, and Leonard Fournette had a really good year. So, I mean, the cards are on the table for Saquon to actually be taken that high and actually live up to the status, depending on where he goes. And if he goes to the Browns, I'm for one, I could definitely see myself possibly drinking the Kool-Aid. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're always going to go with the talent when you're drafting in fantasy football. Talent wins out, and I think Saquon Barkley will be definitely a smart decision, depending on how things shake out towards the end of that first round. So, going to the Broncos next at the fifth pick, the site, as well as I have the Broncos sticking with this pick and taking Quentin Nelson, the guard out of Notre Dame. I think it's a smart pick for a team that couldn't run the ball, and the offensive line looked shaky last year. So I think that's actually a no-brainer pick in my mind. What do you think?
I would be devastated. I want my Bears to get Quentin Nelson at 8 like nobody's business. I mean, I think it's my hope that the Browns go after a quarterback here.
The Broncos. You know,
yeah. I know they got Keenum here, but you know, you're gonna have to look something long term. Keenum, by the way, I mean, Keenum's gonna be looking really good. He's gonna have some weapons to throw the ball to with the Broncos there. I think this is a spot that you know, Baker Mayfield's on the board. It's gonna be hard for the Broncos to pass up.
I think they have their guy with Keenum. It sounded like Elway is ready to give him the reins to that job. So I would not be shocked to see them actually go that route with Quentin Nelson.
Let Keenum see
what he can do. That's my thing. Don't bring in a Baker Mayfield when you have a guy that just competed in the NFC Championship already looking over his shoulder. That's how I look at it myself. But we both agree, solid pick if that is Nelson, even though you do want the Bears to be able to snatch him up at 8. I don't think he's going to make it that far.
I don't love that. I don't either. Now, my Bears, they'll probably trade their second-round pick the next couple of years to move up 3 picks and go get Quentin Nelson. That's
would
just
not
what
shock
Bears.
Me after the Trubisky trade last year.
Yeah. What a
But, you know, you do have to think Ryan Pace is on the hot seat this year, too. He has to hit.
Oh, absolutely.
In free
gotta,
agency in the
gotta
draft. Yeah.
He's got to hit.
So
he's got to hit. But the whoever goes into the Broncos situation as their quarterback, which, you know, looks like right now is Case Keenum's going to be the guy. Case Keenum, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, they're going to – he's only going to be helped by somebody like Quentin Nelson coming in. And further protecting. C.J. Anderson is going to love that. He'll probably shoot up the books. Sleeper I'm going to have for next year, Devontae Booker.
Yep.
I think they're only going to be helped by somebody like Quentin Nelson.
I agree with that. Moving to the Colts, after the trade with the New York Jets, moving down to number 6 spot, they actually looks like they're going to get their guy at 6 that they wanted to get all along, and I believe they were going to take him at 3. Bradley Chubb, the defensive end of North Carolina State, pretty no-brainer pick once again right here. I think I think the Colts really have nabbed him as their guy. They want to improve that defense. I believe they think they have the pieces in place on the offensive side right now, so they're really needing to really elevate some of the defensive play. And I think Chubb comes in right away, like an you know, kind of like a Myles Garrett last year with the Browns. Should be a solid choice right there.
Yeah, I'm looking at their depth chart here. Henry Anderson and Jabal Sheard are right now their starting defensive ends. I think that would be a great pick.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking at IDP leagues, you know, Chubb is definitely going to get drafted. Probably is going to get some sacks. You know, playing on that defense there, he's got the speed to be able to turn the corner. Good pick as a starting D end on some IDP leagues.
All right, so now on to the Tampa Bay Bucks at 7. Walter Football has the Bucks taking Derwin James, the safety out of Florida State. I'm okay with that pick there. I don't really see – there's probably some other areas of need along the defense that they could fill with this pick too. Yeah, they could trade. They could be a candidate to trade back. If a team's feeling froggy and wants to jump up and go after Baker Mayfield since he's fallen, but if
in this
Bucks
scenario, yeah.
Stick here, yeah, I could see the Bucks going with Derwin James, and if that's the pick, hey, solid pick right there. He's going to come in and be a starting safety for them right away. I have no issues with that pick there.
100%. No, he's one of those guys again in an IDP league. I mean, he could be you know, right around that 100 tackle mark, be a playmaker back on that defense, just be that ball hawking safety that they need. And yeah, looking at their defense, Chris Conte, former Bear cast off, Keith Tandy, yeah, that might be the way that they go there. Unless especially now with them trading for JPP, yeah, defense looks like a way to go for them. So I think that would be a solid pick. I think they get hurt by Quentin Nelson. I think they would have made the Quentin Nelson pick just before the Bears. If the Broncos didn't get him, so no, I think that's a great thing.
Yeah. Now, actually, speaking of the Bears, we move on to your Chicago Bears at pick 8. Walter Football has them selecting Denzel Ward, cornerback out of Ohio State. He is actually the top-rated defensive back coming into this draft, according to NFL.com scouts. So, what do you think there, Denzel Ward? Going to be starting opposite Kyle Fuller.
You know, I like Denzel Ward. I like Tremaine Edwards too. So you know, from a fantasy perspective, you know, on that, I mean, I think we have a glaring hole at linebacker. To me, that I would get the edge guy and I would go get Tremaine Edwards. But saying that, if the pick is Denzel Ward, I am not sad whatsoever. Though I think he's a great corner.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be probably that'll be a solid pick there if that's how that shakes out. I mean, I wouldn't argue Minka Fitzpatrick there either. That seems like that would be a solid pick, but
I'd be fine with either one of those.
Yeah, but I guess the way they're looking at it right now is Fitzpatrick's probably projecting out as a safety in the NFL. And the Bears probably feel they need a little bit more help on the outside with corner. So
yeah, well, the Bears have Adrian Amos, who had a really good year last year. Eddie Jackson, that they got in the fourth round from Alabama. He was a ball hawk back in the secondary. I mean, you know, Bears just got Kyle Fuller back. Prince Mukamara resigned for a contract. But, you know, you're going to need more corners. But
yep.
Yeah, I think at least for the Bears team as it is right now, their defense had a really good thing, but we did lose a couple linebackers last year off of last year's team. So, yeah, I would personally love – Minka Fitzpatrick would be great, but Tremaine Edwards would be the pick if I'm in this spot.
You have to think of the division that you're playing in right now. You've got three top-quality quarterbacks that are out there. High-octane offenses. You're going to need corner help out there to be able to slow down those offenses. So I think that'll be a smart pick if that's the way that it shakes out.
It would be, but the one good thing about, you know, again, this is a meat and potatoes draft. You know, in the draft this year, there's not a lot of sexy, you know, skill position guys, but, you know, you can get some corners in round two, round three. So that for me anyway, again, I say you go after the pass rusher, the 19-year-old, and go get Edwards, who, you know, linebacker wise for fantasy leagues with IDP would you know, be a pretty good guy to grab that would probably get you some sacks and get you some tackles out there.
I could see that as well. Now, speaking of skill position, number 9, San Francisco 49ers were looking at selection of Courtland Sutton, wide receiver out of SMU is what they have him down there. Of course, the 49ers were really, really heavily involved in the pursuit of Allen Robinson in free agency. Of course, they missed out on that because he went to your Bears. So,
woo! Fantasy!
So now the 49ers, of course, still have a glaring need at wide receiver. You know, Marquise Goodwin is their other starting receiver right now. To me, Courtland Sutton at 9 seems like a reach pick because the need that you have at the position. I mean, Courtland Sutton doesn't seem like he's going to be a guy that's going to come in right away and be a top-tier number one receiver for any offense in the NFL. So it seems like a reach.
Unless that offense is the Ravens. But, yeah, in this particular mock draft, that's a reach. You know, let's say it is the pick. Let's say Courtland Sutton does come in there. Not looking bad. I mean, we know Jimmy Graves is gonna be chuck the ball around, especially yet Jerick McKinnon, a pass catching running back there right now. It wouldn't surprise me that you know the Niners may you know go down a couple spots and go get like a Darius Geis. But let's say Sutton is the pick right there. You know, he's probably he's draftable. I'd say he's probably, you know, in the latter parts of the draft, a good flyer to throw out on somebody as a bigger receiver. Might not be a bad spot. He's probably a top, you know, in the Niner offense with Jimmy Garoppolo, he's probably a top 5 to 6 pick in a dynasty league.
Yeah, I would go with that. I'd say in redraft leagues, you're probably looking at a guy that he's going to be a borderline wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5, I think, because he
– Yeah, well, he'll get drafted.
The targets will be there. I mean, they don't have anybody else to go to. So you're looking at a guy, I would say, comparison-wise and potential value that he could bring, you're probably looking at a guy that's going to be similar to a Keelan Cole or a D.D. Westbrook from the Jaguars last year. Might start out awfully slow, but once they start to get warmed up, learn the system, learn how to run the routes, that could offer some value later on in the regular season and into your fantasy playoffs. So he could be a guy that'd be a matchup play as you get down the line. So
somebody after that team that does draft him, he does kind of start out crappy, drops him, could be a good pickup to stash for the final run.
I agree with that. So, Sutton to the Niners there has some fantasy appeal, but more late round type pick, I believe, is what we're looking at there. 10 to Raiders. Raiders on this site, they've got Tremaine Edwards from Virginia Tech, the guy that you're coveting, going to the Oakland Raiders here. What do you think about that pick there? Myself, I believe I've got them going to Roquan Smith from Georgia is the pick that I've got. I think he fits more as an Oakland Raider than a Tremaine Edwards, but I don't see any issue with either one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. I work with a lot of Georgia guys, and I tell them, like, I don't know why, but I think Roquan Smith is going to be a bust. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I just have that feeling. I think a linebacker is definitely a position of need. You know, cornerback, honestly, I'm looking at their corners here. Gary and Conley, Darius Hillary, I have no idea who that even is. Apparently he's listed as their starter right now. I mean, I think if I'm here, I go Minkah Fitzpatrick, if he's still on the clock. If not, Tremaine Edwards, I think, would be definitely my pick here.
Yeah.
And again, you know, if Tremaine Edwards is there, same thing like he was with the Bears. He's going to even have more ability here, you know, with Bruce Irvin out there, with Mario Edwards, with Khalil Mack roaming the sideline. That would be a devastating pass rush for the Raiders.
In which, you know, in that division, you've got some issues with some offensive lines in that division. So I would believe that adding pass rush to that defense, you know, would make a Oakland Raiders defense semi sleeper type pick in fantasy formats next year.
100%. No, you've got Jalen Richard returning kicks. He's due to return one or two a year for a touchdown. That Raiders D definitely becomes starting worthy.
Yep, I agree with that. Moving on to pick 11, the Miami Dolphins getting Baker Mayfield is the selection on Walter Football. Do you think Baker Mayfield stays this far down in the draft, do you think the Miami Dolphins actually make this selection?
No and no. I think it's going to be one of those drafts like we had a couple of years ago where you had multiple teams coming in, actually just like last year, where you had multiple teams like trading up, going to get their quarterback. I think that's going to be the key here. You're going to see a lot of teams, you know, using their draft capital come up and come get their guy. So I think he's going to be gone here. I think Tannehill, when he's healthy, is a pretty good quarterback. Especially now, I mean, you got Devontae Parker, you got Kenny Stills. I think somebody's going to come. If Baker Mayfield's on the clock, I think somebody comes right in behind them with the Niners. John Lynch is a dealer. He'll probably deal back a couple picks and still be able to get somebody like Cortland Sutton. But for our purposes here, let's say Baker Mayfield does go to the Dolphins. No fantasy appeal this year whatsoever. Dynasty format, you're looking probably mid to late first round kind of guy. You got some upside potential there with some of the wide receivers. Tough to really think. Like I said, I think Ryan Tannehill still holds some fantasy relevance here. So that would be what I would do.
Tannehill has some fantasy relevance, you know, like what you said, if he's healthy. That's been the issue with Tannehill, is maintaining his health and staying on the field. And a part of that is the reason why, you know, you kind of see some reports out there is that Adam Gase and that coaching staff are ready to go get them another quarterback, want to go find their guy. And so I think everything, if from the way everything's kind of been coming so far through the offseason, Baker Mayfield's the guy that they've talked about. There's been some discussions about Baker Mayfield to Miami, so I would not be shocked to see them make this move here. And
it would be shocking to see Baker Mayfield still on the board at this point. I keep thinking a team's going to come up ahead of him. I really do.
Possibly, but I think at this point in the draft, if it's kind of maintaining the way it's looking right now, the only team I would think that would move up and try to make that selection would be the Bills, and the Bills are just one spot behind them, I think, at 12. If they don't make the trade, you know, like this website has that we talked about earlier on. But yeah, I think the Dolphins are ready to make a move for a quarterback, and Mayfield seems like a guy that could fit with them. I think Adam Gase, in his kind of quarterback guru mentality, is that he can work with a Mayfield and make him a star in this league. I think there's so many more things that he can do with a Baker Mayfield type quarterback than he cannot do with Ryan Tannehill or was able to do with Jay Cutler last year. So
sure. Or I mean, is the Dolphins one of those teams that move up ahead of where their current draft slot is to go get a Baker Mayfield? Man, it's very possible.
Yeah, I think if Baker Mayfield, if he sticks in this spot and goes to Miami, for redraft purposes, I think he will have more value than any of the other quarterbacks in year one in redraft leagues. I think the Dolphins will probably open it up as a quarterback competition in training camp between him and Tannehill. And I would not be shocked to see Baker on the field by, say, a week five, week six, just to try to light a fire under this offense, because they've got guys in place right now, like a Kenyon Drake in the backfield. You've got Frank Gore, the newly signed running back let's be honest, there was a lot of talk after the signing of Frank Gore that, you know, some folks were kind of like, well, here they go. They're not very high on Kenyon Drake as a running back. I will tell you right now, that team and that front office and the coaching staff is high on Kenyon Drake. They're just bringing
Kenyon Drake had a great fantasy record last year.
At the end of the year, Kenyon Drake was probably a guy that was winning championships for some teams. And
got me into a couple championship games.
I would
sure.
not be shocked. You know, Frank Gore's going to be a guy. He'll spell Kenyon Drake, because, you know, Kenyon Drake's not going to be a guy that can handle three down work every single week of the NFL season and hold up. So I think, you know, you've got Drake, you've got Devontae Parker, you've got Kenny Stills. You've got pieces in place that I think are going to be easier for a Baker Mayfield to be able to take advantage of. And I would see Baker Mayfield as a guy that you're going to draft in those last couple of rounds of the draft and could potentially put together a quiet, really strong season and, you know, be a guy that you can play on some matchups. You know, say you go out and you draft one of your quarterbacks in a round 10, 11 type round situation. You're getting one of those Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, Matt Stafford type quarterbacks. You kind of run into some weeks where they're playing some stiff competition. Baker Mayfield might be a guy that can slip right in there and perform well and win a week for you.
Sounds like you're coming around to my take on Baker Mayfield here.
Well, it's just, I mean, all the metrics are there. That's the thing.
Yeah,
every single metric that you measure a quarterback by, he either led in college or he was one of the top two or three in college. So.
And he's got that factor too that a quarterback needs that you gotta like. Unfortunately, Johnny Manziel had it too, but he's got that confidence that's gonna go after.
Dude's cocky. Let's not beat around the bush here. Baker Mayfield is a cocky little son of a gun, and he knows what he can and cannot do, and he's going to go out there and try to prove you wrong every time the ball's snapped. So I think him falling to 11 and being drafted behind three other quarterbacks puts a chip on a guy's shoulder that probably shouldn't be there, and he's gonna come out and try to perform well each and every week. I mean, kind of similar to how Russell Wilson did his first year in the league. You know, Russell Wilson came out and was drafted in what was it, the third round behind some really, really bad quarterbacks, and he wanted to show what he was really worth, and it showed as the Seahawks really started to kind of catch fire that year. So, yeah, I think Mayfield's going to be a guy. If it were me drafting in some dynasty formats, I would draft him behind Darnold and ahead of the other two. But in redraft leagues, I would probably draft him over all four because I think he has more potential this year than the other.
I would say depending on where he goes this year, I would draft him. He would be my highest rated quarterback that I would have for drafts this year. And to me, he's the number one dynasty quarterback as well. Even with Darnold going and having those weapons with the Browns, again, I think Baker Mayfield just has the better long-term potential. I think he, you know, at least with the guys that we've discussed so far, I think you got to go Saquon 1. At least in this format, you got to go Courtland Sutton 2, and I think Baker Mayfield right there, number 3.
All right. So we're only 11 picks in, and it is – yeah, we are kind of dragging along at this point. So we're going to try to kind of
speed
this
it up.
Brandon. Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to speed this
up
a little bit.
Let's talk about some fantasy relevant guys.
Yeah, we're going to jump through here. Next few picks off the board, according to the website here, you're going to have Marcus Davenport going to, which would be the Bills pick at 12. Minkah Fitzpatrick falling to the Redskins at 13. They've got the Packers at 14 taking Jaire Alexander, the cornerback from Louisville, down to 15. The Cardinals. What?
I was gonna say, you know what? I could see that being a good spot for Calvin Ridley right there with the Packers.
With them getting
rid of Jordy Nelson, I can see that as a spot where they go after a Calvin Ridley. That might be the best possible landing spot for Calvin Ridley because I don't see Calvin Ridley, depending on where he goes and depending on where Walter has him going. If he goes to the Packers, that is a dream spot.
Yeah, I mean, I could sign on for that, but you're obviously not buying into the eventual emergence of Jeff Janis. I mean, come on now. Jeff Janis is the next Jordy Nelson. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's going to be my first round pick, but, you know, God, you're letting the cat out of the bag for everybody to know that now.
Now, moving on, Arizona's got the Cardinals taking Mike McGlinchey, tackle out of Notre Dame. For me, I think he's a solid, solid pick right there for them.
Yeah.
Baltimore Ravens at 16 taking Daron Payne, the defensive tackle from Alabama, who showed out like crazy in the national championship game. And let's see, Baltimore Ravens, that selection right there, if it were me making that selection, that's where Calvin Ridley would be going. I think that's going
to
be
sure. If he's still on the board there, I think you have to. I think you have to make that pick.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. That's exactly where I think he's going to go.
No Mike Wallace there anymore. If Calvin Ridley went there, if he went to the Packers, Calvin Ridley is instantly a top three guy in a dynasty format. If you're looking for, you know, an actual redraft league, I think he slots in really well as a late three, early four. Going somewhere like the Ravens, I think he moves down a little further than that. And in a dynasty league, in a redraft league though, I think he actually goes maybe a touch higher because he may be the number one option.
All right, now moving on to pick 17, Los Angeles Chargers going with Vita Vea, the nose tackle out of Washington. Moving to 18, Isaiah Wynn, the guard out of Georgia, going to the Seattle Seahawks, which should be a pretty no-brainer move there. They do need offensive line help badly there. 19, my Dallas Cowboys actually have us taking Roquan Smith, the linebacker from Georgia. If he were to fall to Dallas at pick 19 there, I think that would be one great steal of a pick, because I do think Roquan Smith is going to be great at the next level. Now, moving 20, Detroit Lions, we actually have a fantasy-relevant player to discuss here. They have Sony Michel to the Detroit Lions at pick 20. That seems like a really, really good pick for the Detroit Lions right there. They do need running back help, and I think that he can plug in right away and immediately be an upgrade for this offense.
100%. Amir Abdullah has been nothing but a disappointment in his time in the league. Sony Michel goes with this pick. Ah, wow. I'm thinking he's slotting right into that third to fourth round kind of pick, right where Christian McCaffrey was going last year, just a pass catching guy who's going to come in and be really, really relevant really quickly in leagues, especially PPR leagues. Dynasty formats, yeah, I mean, we're talking, if he's the pick right there, I'm probably taking him number two with the way things have shaken out so far. He would be my number two right behind Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I would pretty well agree with that there. I think he's going to be a guy that can kind of come in and plug in right away into this offense and what they want to try to do. He can definitely run in between the tackles, but I think what you're going to see a lot with Sony Michel is get him in space. You're going to see a lot of dump-offs to him. He's basically going to take over and be a better version of Theo Riddick, and should be a really high draft pick in fantasy formats too, in PPR formats. I would think going into that offense and the type of player that he is, you could probably see him in that fifth round range in some redrafts this year. So I think that is a perfect landing spot for a running back with the capabilities of a Sony Michel there. And let's see, moving on, going to the Bengals, has them taking James Daniel, center out of Iowa.
Sexy pick.
And at 22, they have the New York Giants listed as a part of the deal that they had with the Buffalo Bills moving up in the draft, so we're going to assume the Buffalo Bills are making this pick here at 22, and it has Rashawn Evans, linebacker from Alabama. Smart pick, I think, going to the Bills there. 23, Los Angeles Rams, Sam Hubbard, defensive end out of Ohio State. Rams just continuing to build that defense up. That defense will be a number one, number two, number three defense in fantasy next year. Carolina Panthers, 24, Dante Jackson, cornerback LSU. 25, Titans, Harold Landry, defensive end out of Boston College.
Solid pick.
Falcons taking Taven Bryan, defensive tackle out of Florida at 26. Now, here is a very questionable pick at 27. Walter Football has the New Orleans Saints selecting Lamar Jackson, quarterback, Louisville, as the heir apparent.
Oh, you figure he has to go in the first round.
You don't have to figure that he's going in the first round.
There's going to be a team that they like Lamar Jackson.
Be a team a la like Cleveland, the way they did with Johnny Manziel that year, trading back into the first round to get a guy that's continuing to fall, and that'll be the case with Lamar Jackson. For me, the fit is not there with the New Orleans Saints.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he would fit in very well in that offense. Of course, you will see no playing time out of Lamar Jackson behind Drew Brees in 2018. Drew Brees is there for at least another couple of years. So to me, there's 2 years worth of quarterback tape that you could find another player that would fit in your system better than a Lamar Jackson type. So if that were the 100%. Pick. I don't see any value for Lamar Jackson in Lamar Jackson in 2018 or in dynasty formats moving forward.
Best maybe a second or third round dynasty pick. He's one of those guys that if I'm having to take Lamar Jackson, it better not be in the first round of the dynasty. I'd much rather take my chances and knock one out of the park with a running back or wide receiver. Lamar Jackson would be nowhere near my team in the dynasty format scenario.
He's definitely a dynasty type quarterback that you would take as a flyer just to see how things would shake out. You would keep him on your roster and see what happens down the road, but otherwise he's just sitting there and he's taking up roster space where you could use it in other, with other areas of need on your team. So yeah, Lamar Jackson, we're both kind of signing off on that pick as not being a great selection if it were going to the New Orleans Saints. 28, Pittsburgh Steelers. Going back to the linebacker whale, taking Leighton Vander Esch, the linebacker from Boise State. Probably comes in as like another J.J. Watt, or J.J. Watt's little brother from last year. So
Good pick.
it would be a good pick there. 29, Jacksonville Jaguars taking another wide receiver after losing Allen Robinson in free agency to the Bears. Calvin Ridley, the wide receiver from Alabama, is the pick here on Walter Football. What do you think about the selection if it is Calvin Ridley there?
I mean, with Jacksonville, you had the other Allen Hurns actually go to the Cowboys the other day, so you're down a couple of receivers from what you were. D.D. Westbrook comes in. You've got, a couple of the other guys they had last year. You don't exactly have a lot of, solid, hey, I can rely on this guy. Calvin really did have good production in college. I think this would be a great landing spot. Again, I think he goes a little bit higher than this. But if the Jacksonville Jaguars could get Calvin Ridley here, total home run. Fantasy wise, Dynasty formats, I would say he'd probably slot really well in either a third or fourth pick. Definitely the running backs that we've mentioned so far, I would take over Calvin Ridley. Sutton, at least in his situation, I would take a little bit higher, just because I think Calvin Ridley would have a couple of guys compete with for the job. But redraft league, yeah, probably high end number four receiver is where I would think he would slot in.
Yeah, I would kind of agree with that there too. I do think Calvin Ridley, like you, he's going a little earlier in this draft. I just think athleticism wise, there's going to be a team that's going to take a chance on him a little bit sooner. But if he did fall to Jacksonville, even with losing Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson, DeeDee Westbrook, Keelan Cole there's going to be too many mouths to feed in this offense. Austin Seferian-Jenkins, Leonard Fournette out of the backfield. And they still got TJ Yeldon as well. It'll be one of those things where you're just not going to. I don't think he's going to catch enough balls to be able to be really fantasy relevant in year one. He'll have boom and bust weeks. He'll have weeks where he'll score like a wide receiver two, wide receiver three, but then you won't hear from him for a month. That's just going to be how that Jacksonville Jaguars offense is going to be run. They're going to be running the ball, playing defense. And whatever you can get out of the wide receiver position is just like cherry on top of on the ice cream sundae. And Calvin Ridley will be a guy that he can give it to you one week, but the next week it'll be DeeDee Westbrook, and the next week it'll be Keelan Cole. So, he'll be a guy that you'll probably want to target. He'll get drafted as a wide receiver three in drafts. I'll tell you that right now, if he were going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. But for
Oh,
me,
100%.
yeah, for
But that
me.
means he's a starter.
Yeah,
That's not good.
and that's what I'm telling you. I think he will be taken as a starter in certain formats in Dynasty in fantasy football this year. It'll be it'll be a team that'll go early at wide receiver, taking two top tier studs, and then start filling the depth on the roster, and then taking a chance on a guy like a Ridley at three. So, for me though, he's gonna slot in. I would have him probably as one of these low end wide receiver fours. And possibly even a five, you'll probably be able to get him enough as late as a five in some formats. So, dynasty wise though, yeah, I mean he'll be a high pick in some dynasty formats. He'll be a mid first rounder in dynasty drafts. I would not be shocked to see that be the case with the Calvin Ridley type. But he will have more long term potential than he will in 2018. That goes without saying. So, going to 30, Minnesota Vikings, going with the offensive guard from UTEP, Will Hernandez. 31, New England Patriots taking Colton Miller, the offensive tackle from UCLA. I can agree with that. And 32, Philadelphia Eagles. Walter Football has Eagles taking DJ Moore, wide receiver from Maryland. I disagree with that pick. I think it's going to be a Christian Kirk type. I don't know about you. What would you think on that selection?
I mean, if they do go wide receiver, which I don't see, only because if you've stuck with us this long, this is one of my fantasy nuggets for next year. Mac Hollins, remember that name in your drafts next year. Mac Hollins, I think, is going to have a really, really good year
next year.
Yeah, no, 100%. No, he is definitely going to be one of my sleepers headed next year. If DJ Moore is the pick, you know, that's fine. I mean, I think they can go in a couple of different directions here, but, you know, I think DJ Moore would slot in. He would not be a guy that I would just go out there and target. Dynasty formats, I think just because of where he's taken, he'll probably get taken in the first round just because he's going to the Eagles and they have Wentz. Redraft league, I mean, you're probably looking at a very, very late round, number six, number seven type wide receiver if he was taken here just because of where he goes.
Yeah, DJ Moore, if he were the selection, would just be roster fill at the end of your bench. I don't think he would offer much value. Like I said, I think it would be a Christian Kirk type. I think he fits into that offense even more. As much as I hate to say that as a Cowboys fan, I think that would be a smart selection on their part. So there it is. Tackled the first round.
Woo!
Knocked it out of the way. I think... we offered some solid advice there, but like what we kind of touched on a little bit and talked about is that there's not a lot of star power and not a lot of fantasy appeal for 2018, especially in this first round of the NFL draft from the way it's shaking out.
Yeah, at least where the way things are going. Granted, we haven't even talked about, you know, Darius Geis. Some of these running backs are going to have, you know, some fantasy relevant locations which we haven't even got to yet. Definitely not as good fantasy-wise, at least as far as the rookies go, than it has been the last couple of years. So it's definitely going to be a little bit of a downturn. But, you know, you're going to have some guys go in some locations that surprise that, you know, I think we'll have some better idea once the draft gets going on some of these guys and the spots they're landing and can they be relevant.
I agree. Yeah, then for me, with the Steelers at the end of round one, watch out for them – and Darius Geis. I just have a sneaky suspicion. You know, the news came down today that they're holding off on negotiations with Le'Veon Bell until after the draft is over with. They don't have to have a deal in place until July 16th, so I would not be shocked to see the Steelers just ride out the franchise tag on Bell this year and pick them up a young running back that can fill that void like a Darius Geis at the bottom of round one.
No John Connor?
James Conner. James Conner, the running back from Pitt last
year. The Terminator.
Yeah, I don't see them really going with him either. So, yeah, so going in, let's say next week, maybe tackle a little bit more NFL draft coverage. Might talk a little bit of our day two and day three sleepers. Maybe so we'll throw out some names out there to kind of keep an eye on that, you know, based on where they go in the draft, what kind of fantasy appeal those guys might have. So we'll put that down as what next week's episode will be. We're going to get a little bit more in-depth and kind of tackle some guys that you might not know about, bring them to the table, give you a little more insight on those players. So we're going to do that next week. But as for this week, first round out of the way, I think we hit on some good things, talked about some fantasy implications, knock these quarterbacks out of the way. You know, that's going to be the sizzle for this
Hopefully
draft.
These people remember that name from the end, Mac Hollins.
Mac
stayed
Hollins.
With the whole way. I'm telling you, Mac Hollins is going to be good next year.
We're going to write that down. That is in the notes, and it's on tape, so now you have to abide by that as well. So
I'm fine with that.
So going, now that we're wrapping this sucker up, Nick, where are you at on the Twitter so everybody can try to give you a follow?
Old tweeter. Well, you know, hopefully most people can find me on there, but it's at Nick Heffley, NickHefley, at Nick Heffley.
Simple enough. Me, I am at Roto Superstar on Twitter. Give me a follow there. I throw out a lot of nuggets, a lot of tidbits for NFL and fantasy coverage throughout the year. Also on rotoexperts.com. going through my team by team previews leading up into the NFL draft. Had the Cleveland Browns article come out already earlier, just a few days ago. Knocking them out one by one, so be on the lookout for those. But as it were, we are wrapping it up. We are done. Episode 3, not flying solo this week. Nick Heffley back on board. We're going to try to keep
Woo!
it this way moving forward. And we are finished up, and we bid everyone a good night. Hope everyone has a
Adieu.
great week.
See you guys. Baseball starting this week.
Baseball starting this week. Opening day.
See you guys.
See ya.
Opening day Thursday.
And we are out.